We have many things to be thankful for today. In the epistle and in the gospel, we heard the same message, that there are those who are in bondage and those who are free. The epistle is a little cryptic, I think, often when we first look at what Paul is saying there. Paul was well-schooled in rhetoric from the city of Tarsus, and so sometimes he waxes a bit too eloquently for us. He is looking at the Old Testament, and there he sees an allegory, an image, a parable about something greater. And he looks at Sarah and Isaac and Hagar and Ishmael, and he sees a difference in these two offspring of Abraham. Ishmael was born of a slave woman, Hagar, and Isaac was born of a free woman, Sarah. And so Paul contrasts the existence of these two individuals and compares it to then the old covenant versus the new. He says those who are still under the old covenant, the Jews in the first century at that time, who have not accepted Christ, they are under a master, like a slave, bound against their will. What does he mean by this? Well, in the Old Testament, God gave His people His law. We often think of law that God gives as some rules. Our laws change. It was just when I was a child, you couldn't drive faster than 55 miles an hour on any freeway in the United States. It was a federal law. Today, you can drive 65, some places 75. I think there's a road in Nevada where there's no speed limit now. So laws change. And so we see laws changing. And sometimes we think then as laws are something that are imposed upon us to restrict us. But God's law is different. The word law in English often has that sense of a law, a rule that is put upon us to keep us from something, like breaking the speed limit, getting killed, something like that. And we often feel bound in by it. Sometimes we can't even fulfill it, right? You just got to go too fast. So that is not what the law is in the Old Testament. The English word law is translated in the Greek word nomos, and this is how it comes into the New Testament. But if we go back into the Old Testament, we find that the Greek translation of the Old Testament, called the Septuagint, we find there when we see nomos, law, if we go back and look at the Hebrew that's being translated, the word there is Torah. Now, Torah is a root in Hebrew that has to do with direction. Direction. In fact, the verbal form of this root is the verb to shoot an arrow. But it's to direct an arrow to where you want it to go. So a better translation in modern English of Torah would be not law because it gives us a funny sense, but rather direction. Direction. And now we're on to what God has given us. In God's law, in the Old Testament, His direction, He is giving us what a parent gives to their child. Direction. Education so that they may grow up and live a good life. Live properly in accord with God's will and the will of their parents. Direction. No parent imposes upon their children arbitrary laws to restrict them. Although the children may sometimes think that's what it is. But parents give direction in the home, have rules in the home for the good of their children, for the good of their family. And this is what God has given His people in the Old Covenant. He gave them His law, His direction. He revealed to them at Mount Sinai His will. A modern example of this, again, rules in the home to raise the children, would be something we've talked about before, and then it's like a car manual. The manual in the glove box of your car is intended there not to restrict you. What? I have to change the oil every 3,000 miles? I feel hampered by that. No, the direction in the car of the, from the manufacturer is there to help that car do what it's supposed to do for you. So that car will have a long life for you, and et cetera, et cetera. And this is how God's laws are, how parents' laws are for their children. But the problem in the Old Covenant is God's laws, His direction, is trying to direct His children, Israel, according to His will. But they could not keep it. They were given God's will. They were shown His will, but they could not keep it. And so St. Paul says, it's as if they were in bondage. They couldn't do what they wanted to do. And so in a certain sense, it's almost like an image of slavery. But in the New Covenant, he says, we are free. Like Isaac, who was born from Sarah, we are free. Free. How is that? Because in the New Covenant, we are able, in a mysterious way, to actually live according to God's direction, His will. Well, how is that possible? How is that possible? We saw an image of it in the Gospel today. Here is a woman who is bound by Satan, Jesus says. She was bent over because of some sort of affliction or whatever. Satan has bound her. And so she's bent over with the weight of this bondage. And Jesus says, woman, you are delivered. He lays His hands upon her. The evil spirit departs. And the woman is able to stand upright the way she was supposed to be, the way God had created her. Here, Jesus, the Word of God incarnate, through whom man was created in the beginning. God created by His Word, you remember. And now, He through whom the Father creates has come in the flesh to restore His creation to what they were supposed to be. And so this woman now stands upright the way she was supposed to be. She's been restored to good health. And so we hear and see in the Gospel what Jesus has come to do for all of us. I said we celebrate many wonderful things today. One in particular is that this morning, Lucy was chrismated at the beginning of the service. Those of you who were here on time, you were able to witness Lucy's chrismation. Lucy was baptized as a child in the Latin Church, but now, through the will of God, she has now been chrismated, the completion of her baptismal grace. And now today, for the first time in her life, she will receive the life-giving body and blood of Jesus. Jesus says, He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life in him, and I will raise him on the last day. The holy mystery, or as it's called in the West, the holy sacrament of chrismation or confirmation, is the completion of baptismal grace. All of you who have been baptized into Christ, St. Paul says, have put on Christ, as we sang earlier today. In holy baptism, the person has been drawn from the baptismal font, like Adam drawn from the waters of the first creation. And as Adam had the breath of life breathed into his nostrils, so Lucy and all of you who have been confirmed, chrismated, have had the life-giving spirit blown back into your life. And now, you all have, and Lucy will today, receive the body and blood of Jesus. Jesus has come to solve two problems for us that are intimately related. Sin and death. Sin and death. Sin is not the breaking of some sort of arbitrary rule in which then God punishes us. Sin is turning away from God. Like your child, when you are trying to direct them in the way they should go, to turn their back on you and walk away. Just like a child who would turn their back on their parents and walk out of the house off into the sunset is now going to find themselves living a very difficult life. So Adam and Eve, who turned their back on their heavenly Father that day in the garden, refused to abide by His rules He had given them for their own good, walked away, separated themselves from Him. But God is a loving Father, and He desires all of our good and for all of His creation to come to fruition. And so, He sent His Son that we might have baptism, chrismation, and reception of Holy Eucharist. So that, like Adam of old who was fallen, we have then been raised up. Adam died that day in the garden in his heart, and his body eventually decayed and died as a result. We who have been baptized into Christ on the day of our baptism and confirmation have become new creations in Christ. And that new creation in Christ will have a bodily result at the end of time when Christ comes and raises us from the dead. This is why in the early church, they baptized, confirmed, chrismated, and gave Holy Communion not only to adults, but even babies. For babies, little children, adults, and elderly are all in need of being saved from our own sin and our coming death. And those of you who have been baptized into Christ and have been confirmed and have received His life-giving body and blood, you will, as He said, be raised on the last day and enter back again into the Garden of Eden with our Heavenly Father. For this was His plan, and His plan will not be thwarted. May God bless you all.